is our fantasy sports podcast. Tim Benz and Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. RotoWire, the best fantasy website in the business. Jeff is the best fantasy analyst in the business. He joins us once a week here in the Breakfast with Benz podcast. Jeff, when last we spoke, everybody was trying to figure out what to do with their fantasy leagues. Everything was held up because of the Bengals-Bills Monday night game that eventually got canceled. I know in the leagues that I was a part of, everything was peacefully resolved. For the most part, we were fortunate in that the results from that game wouldn't have impacted our standings unless, you know, Devin Singletary turned it in a Walter Payton-esque performance or Tyler Bass kicked 7 field goals or something like that. So we pretty much just settled as was after the Sunday games. For the most part, how did you see the industry handle that situation? And how were you eventually affected? I know you had a couple leagues that were kind of in another world there when we last spoke.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the same as you. I mean, the fact that the NFL officially did not count any of the stats from the Monday night game kind of dictated it for us there. You know, it was as is. It's unfortunate. It's a, you know, it's a lot of unfortunate things happened that night, and us dwelling on our fantasy championships, we all wanted to have the right perspective. We all didn't want to step out of line. So yeah, it matters. But at the same time, yeah, it is what it is. So we settled it as it was. I've heard of some people taking an average or other people allowing them to play the next week, but it's just, I don't think that was proper. So I'm glad they handled it the way, at least we handled it the way we did. And I don't think the NFL could have replayed that game without just turning everything over.
What did you notice? What did you see? What sort of trends did you pick up on for players and for leagues that went into week 18 scenarios and kind of had total points championships and things of that sort? I know you're in a couple of those leagues too.
Well, you know, everybody had to hustle, right? You know, everybody to figure out who's playing, who's going to play more than just a quarter, you know, who's it going to matter for? It's ironic, though, that like a couple of the teams that played their starters still got very little performance, notably Dallas.
Right.
Really, you know, soiled the bed against the Commanders.
That was one that leapt to mind for me, for the most part, at least on a gambling front, if nothing else. I always load up for the last week of the regular season. I love to take games where I can find teams playing for something against teams that are not playing for anything. One team that sort of hurt me in that regard, but eventually they covered, which was good. I was sweating it out for a little bit, but you know, I had them on an all win parlay, but I had them on the point spread too. Was Los Angeles. They weren't playing for much. I can't remember if they're playing for anything based on how things went with the Ravens and the Bengals. But I always like to do that. I always like to find the teams that have the softer spot to go up against to try to get better positioning, a bye to qualify, like the Steelers playing the Browns, for instance. I thought that paid off in that regard.
Sure.
But what didn't pay off for the Steelers was another team that paid off for me. It was ugly, but the Miami Dolphins winning by, wait for it again, 11-6, because they had something to play for and the Jets didn't. And even if the Jets did, they were playing Joe Flacco. And look how that turned out.
Yeah, and the fact that some people thought Flacco might be an upgrade over Zach Wilson tells you what they think about Wilson, and maybe tells you what you think about their analytical skills, because Flacco, I mean, he won the Cleveland game, but that was one of the bizarrest set of circumstances ever.
Yeah,
I think that Miami's a dead team walking into the playoffs now. With Skylar Thompson looking like he's going to start again, definitely no Tua. I mean, Miami needs Tua. I think that was laid pretty bare.
When it comes to the postseason, Jeff, what kind of leagues do you like to play in? Do you have a favorite format? And what are you noticing when it comes to draft approach, especially with all the quarterback questions afoot?
Yeah, there's three different ways you can play. One's like a draft approach, which is what we did on our show last night in SiriusXM Fantasy, where we had 6 of us, snake draft. You just draft players. There's no subs. You get your players until they get knocked out. The whole idea is you bankroll teams that you think are going to go make deep runs. Like San Francisco could get 4 games. They're one of the teams that are playing this weekend that's got a legit chance to go to the Super Bowl. I think a lot of people are even taking them over the Eagles. So, you know, Niners players, you know, get a premium. Like you might take Bryant and Ayuk over Justin Jefferson and not bat an eye because of that, because Justin Jefferson will play 1 or 2 games. Most likely they could play each other in round 2. We'll see. But and a lot of people are even picking the Giants to beat the Vikings. So, you know, you're seeing the Vikings get discount a little bit. Another way you can do is contest style. And I'm doing that. I'm running a league like that. It's 1 and done contest style. As many people as you want can enter. Anybody can use anyone. but you can only use them once. You know, and so you have to, it's a little game theory there.
Almost like Survivor League, but with players, you're saying.
Right. Well, not that. You don't get knocked out, but the players get knocked out.
That's what I mean.
But like, say if you use Justin Jefferson in this round and they happen to advance, well, you can't use them next round. You have to replace them with somebody else. And then with that, there, like, and this is like the NFFC also does this. There's a multiplier effect. So this round, they're worth their score. Next round, if you draft them in the first round and they're still alive, you get two times their score. Same thing in the conference championships, it's worth three times their score. In the Super Bowl, if you had them all along, they're 4X, which is huge. You get two players essentially that are going to be 4X, unless you didn't pick anyone. And the thing is, you have to only take one in that first round from that team. That's a fun way of doing it.
With that format then, Jeff, what advice would you give, say, you know, the obvious thinking there is Mahomes versus Allen or Burrow?
Well, kind of, yeah, it's basically you get the quarterbacks right, you get a huge advantage. You know,
I'm just wondering with the bye, when, like, you know, Hurts, I think, would be a great pick in the NFC because you think that the Eagles are going to advance, but do you want to sit out the first week?
Well, yeah, and you're going to have someone on the Eagles, and because in that way, so you can get that 4X multiplier in the Super Bowl. So you get a blank spot in round one, but you have to decide which Eagle do you want to take? Which Niner do you want to take? Which Chief do you want to take? I would say, in almost all of these, try to map out the playoffs. Figure out, okay, if this happens, I think this team's going to beat this team. I think this is what's going to happen. If this happens, what happens next? And you try to map out, okay, who's my Super Bowl going to be? Okay, I want to bankroll those teams, or I want to make sure I get the quarterback from this team. So you see Brock Purdy get taken in the first round in some drafts because of that. Because, you know, he's going to get four games. That's the idea.
You know, now we've also got the Monday night game hanging out there. You never had to worry about that in terms of scheduling and lineup adjustments, too.
Yeah.
The playoffs. That's another.
And that might be the closest game this weekend. At least one that. I think ESPN, they threw ESPN a little bit of a bone because they lost the Bengals-Bills game, obviously. So I think that maybe they got, usually that's usually like last choice game. Instead, it's one of the better games.
How about the third way? You said there was that traditional six-team snake draft format. You talked about this sort of elimination format. What was the third one you had?
Well, it's contest format again, but instead you can replace players after a particular week and all that there. And so there's a lots of different ways. And, you know, you just, you know, go to My Fantasy League, go to Sleeper, go to the NFFC. You can find various ways to play, a lot of platforms to play it on too. Plus, we can also just do DFS or sports betting.
I was going to say the sports betting angle, I tend to, in the DFS angle, I get more intrigued with player performance sports betting in the postseason. Like, I don't make a ton of individual performance bets in the regular season. I find myself more inclined to do that in the postseason. Like, I saw a super soft line on Kittle's under yards, you know, with Purdy playing. That one seemed pretty sweet to me. And like you said, filling out DFS lineups for the playoffs, especially in the first weekend, maybe even the second weekend, is a lot of fun to do that too.
And I don't know how it is in Pennsylvania, but most places there's a lot of different shops that you can go. So Forum Shop for sure with those player props, because they're, you know, the line itself on the game, you know, the result of the game, it's going to be pretty steady across the board. Maybe you'll find a half point variance here and there, but player props, it's all over the map.
How about baseball, Jeff? When we were talking before we started rolling here, you said you were in a little bit of a baseball frame of mind today as well.
Yeah, I wrote an article early in the week talking about the Phillies trade for Gregory Soto and what that means. Talked a little bit also about the crowded Diamondbacks outfield. But since then, we've had some big news. We had the Trevor Story injury. Carlos Correa finally found a home, passed his physical finally. You and I were talking off air beforehand. Brian Reynolds will probably get traded sometime soon. Detroit is moving in their fences in center and right field. So
I noticed that. I actually thought of you when I saw that news. I thought about fantasy owners and fantasy baseball. That leapt right into my brain.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's the sort of thing. It's a July news drop. It might evade the attention of some people. Last year, Orioles Park at Camden Yards had a massive change moving their fences back in left field, and that played a big – that was a big, big change in the outcome of at-bats in that field. So especially for right-handed power. So something to pay attention to. It can elude your eye sometimes if you're not keeping an eye on it.
We talked about Reynolds briefly there. Texas and the Yankees, two teams that are being bandied about at the time that we are speaking. How do you think he'd weave into those two teams?
Well, I would, You know, I think the Yankees, I mean, they could use one more bat, I think. Rangers have been spending a lot of money. They're trying to force their way into contention in a tough division, tough because the Astros reside there. But, you know, at the same time, if you look at what they spent on DeGrom, for instance, there, and you know, they've added 2 years in a row now. They've spent big money. They're trying to contend. So that'd be another piece by adding Reynolds.
I'm going to hop back to football real quick since you're a Bengals guy. You like him at -9.5? I do.
I do, but you know, I'm a little worried that the right side of the offensive line's out. Lyle Collins is out for the full entirety of the playoffs. Alex Kappa, the right guard, is going to miss this game. Suffered an injury against the Ravens last week. Had to get carted off with an ankle injury. Kappa's really good. I'm going to miss that one. That's going to be a bummer there a little bit there. So I would think it's going to be tough sledding for Joe Mixon. I think they're going to have to throw the ball, and can they protect Burrow on that side? That's going to be the key thing.
What's going to happen with Jackson is probably going to be the story of the offseason, right?
It has to be a big story. Absolutely. Because, you know, we don't know, like, did he have a setback on that PCL? But the fact that he's still not practicing, the contract is weighing over the whole entirety of the situation there. I mean, right. They could just, you know, franchise him, but, you know, they'd be very unhappy about that. A lot of different ways that one can go. The fact that Roquan Smith did get paid this week makes it even more interesting.
Jeff, thanks. We'll do it again next week.
All right, Tim. Thank you.
Before we go, tell people what they can find at RotoWire.
Sure. Our baseball draft kit is live on the site. All of our regular features for the playoffs are up. You can check it all out, including our projections. RotoWire.com/free gets you a free trial. No credit cards required. You just get a peek behind the paywall.